morning, everyone. Well, the music, the last post, it's Anzac Day, and today, you know, this is a special day for those few who done so much for many of us in the Great Wars, whether it was World War One, World War Two, the war on the Korean Peninsula, Vietnam, to some of the conflicts that have been around lately. It is a very, very symbolic day, and I have to say it's one of the few days in this country where we don't have people trying to push their agenda. This is a day of reflection. Well, good morning to AJ Wheaton, and I have to say Anzac Day, special day, mate.
Yeah, no, very touching, and you never get tired of hearing the last post. It sends a tingle down the spine, and yeah, just passing on our thoughts in remembrance to those all armed personnel who've done so much. And a very poignant tune, and one that does make us all remember how thankful we are for the services of our armed forces. Yeah, well done, mate.
No problem at all. Well, we started off super round in Christchurch, and of course last night it kicked off for Crusaders fans 15 years after what was disaster. If they said Christchurch is still rebuilding, well, it's definitely rebuilt now. The Kaha Pact, Crusaders 35, Waratahs 20. An interesting loose forward combination of Dom Gardner, Christian Leawala, and Lester Fahanuku, who went into number 7. But David Havili really showed his experience. Your thoughts on the game, AJ?
Yeah, well, first of all, congrats to the our big competition, the Red and Blacks down there, and full turnout, as we'd expect, the new stadium. So I had a few friends going down, of course, just to celebrate, be part of the first matches there. So, great fun by all. Got some great pictures of them in the crowd with holding a few glasses of the brown liquid. But, well done to the Crusaders. It was a must win. And they had to battle for it at times. They had, a good heads up to the Waratahs. They kept them honest because it was pretty close at half time. So, they'll go away happy. You mentioned the loose forward trio, Lester Fionuku, of course, at number 7. I'll tell you what, he didn't play a bad game. Quite impressive with him in the loose and taking the ball up. We know he's a big lad. And with Leo Willey and Gardner, they certainly sort of dominated in that area. Havili, of course, playing solid left from there as his captaincy. But Dallas McLeod, I think it just showed you not only his versatility, but he has some talent, and he's going to be sorely missed going forward as he's moving overseas. The old legs of Johnny McNichol, still in play. But just an all-round good display. Cody Taylor leading the front row. But as I said, an entertaining match. Pretty defensive at times. It was one up, one bash, smack him, and just to me at times a bit of lack of creativity from the Waratahs to try and breach the line. But all in all, a big win for the Crusaders, puts them back in that top six, and I think Mr. Penny will be pretty happy.
I think he will be very, very happy, OJ, and I think the biggest thing is that what it actually is that this result really does originate resonates well with what has happened this weekend. So a special victory. Then we move on to the round that was, and we don't have to talk about another game because we've got four more to complete. So obviously the first one coming up, the earlier game at, is the Hurricanes versus the Brumbies. Now, I think that match last week between the Canes and the Chiefs really showed that they are possibly the standard bearers of the competition at the moment. But this one, you still don't really bet against the Brumbies that often.
No, and I think the Brumbies to me have been the surprise team of the competition, especially from the Australian point of view. Surprise in that, Piggy, I've always assumed them to be around about the top three or four, and they've had a really inconsistent season. So I think Mr. Larkham would have been pulling his hair out here and there. A couple of games he's let slip away. Made a couple of changes, of course, with his side coming into this big match. And it's a really big match for the for the Brumbies to show where they sit. I'm picking the Hurricanes, of course. They in that lost the golden point to Chiefs. Pretty exciting in that last 5 minutes, but that was one that slipped away from them. I'm sure Clark Laidlaw wouldn't have been happy with that. But anyway, time for redemption. New stadium. Let's hope the crowd turns out for this one here to support this match. But, I just think that they'll be too solid up front, hurting from last week, and I think they'll take this one away.
Absolutely, and of course then later on the Blues versus the Reds, a big one for the Blues and also a big one for the Reds. Obviously they want to obviously move up the table, and I will say this in my I know that the people of Canterbury are really going to open their arms and show love to all to the Blues.
I'm not sure about that, but I accept
I'm being sarcastic, AJ.
You're being sarcastic, of course. It's like having, milk with your Wheaties every morning. I'm looking forward to seeing some blue there in the crowd. As I say, it's a spectacle. They should be out there in force. The Blues, of course, sitting second or third in the table, so they'll want to continue that. Patrick Tuipulotu leading the team there. Combination is pretty set. Christy Barrett there. I think Sam Sullivan obviously creates some flair. I think Banks is playing his first run-on match there, so congrats to him. But you've got to put your hand up to the Reds. They'll come there and they'll throw everything at them. We always talk about their back row with Wilson, the captain, McFreight, very,
absolutely,
very solid. And they've always got passing error in the back line at number 12. Always pretty consistent there. They'll certainly throw everything at them. They've got nothing to lose. They're sitting out time just inside that top six. So they want to make sure they stay there. So a big match for the Reds, at least to come away with some points, whether it's a bonus point. And just to make a nod to the veteran prop, Jeffrey Tumungo Allen, playing his 150th Super Rugby match. So congrats to him. Anyone who can play 150 games in this era deserves a pat on the back.
And, of course, then we move to Sunday, and the Highlanders will take on Moana Pacifica in the early 2 o'clock game, and that will be followed by the Chiefs and the Fijian Drua.
Yeah, well, the Highlanders, of course, must win. Again, battling to make that six, I think it's out of their reach. And playing Pacifica, Moana Pacifica, who we know all sorts of news, not good news in the press. But a good win last week, that was quite surprising. But anyway, they've got to come and play and finish out their season. And what happens next year, well, anyone knows. But for the Highlanders, it's a must win. They really have got to show that they deserve to be in the competition somewhere close to that top six. They haven't produced it. A lot of bells and whistles at the start of the season. With Jamie Joseph coming in, and they started well, but they've certainly fallen off that W column. So, must win for them, and to win in some style too.
Absolutely, and of course the final game, the Chiefs versus the Drua. The Drua, they caused a major upset in Canberra last weekend, and you know what, I think they, and of course the Chiefs really coming off a fantastic win over the Hurricanes, but the Drua, they've got that little bit of confidence about them, and a little bit of swagger. They're trying to get into that top six for playoffs.
Hats off to Glenn Jackson too. I mean, they've had three, four wins. So they'll come there with nothing to lose. The Chiefs just got to get their feet firmly back on the ground after that, as I said, golden point win, and just keep that momentum going. But you'd expect the Chiefs to come away with this. I picked them to win by 14 points or so. The Drua, a great win for them, and just showing that they're getting more competitive in this competition. Glenn Jackson's done, I think, a pretty good job with the team that he's got. So the Chiefs, after that great win, Satiti, of course, starting at the back at number 8 there. You've got the big back row with Parker Brown playing. Oh, he's their lord. It's a pretty complete sort of team with McKenzie, Tupai there, Ratana. So very consistent in the selections. Is John O. Gibbs, and I think they'll run away with this one.
Absolutely. Anyway, AJ, just to also let you know, we've got a Trans-Tasman match between Black Ferns versus the Wallaroos in the competition over in the States at the moment. And I'll be quite brutally honest here. The Black Ferns should win, and they should win very easy. A very good win against Canada last weekend. And I just think the gap between New Zealand women's rugby and Australia, there is a gulf.
Yeah, it's totally different between that and the sevens, isn't it? Well, we seem to have the measure of having the sevens as well, but they're certainly a lot more competitive in that sort of mode of the game. No, they'll win this comfortably. Just too strong, and as you said, the performances, 2 out of 2 so far, they'll wrap it up. And the girls, just too dominant in that area. And the Pacific with women's rugby. So, yep, a win to the Black Ferns for sure.
Absolutely. Well, AJ, what are you up to for the rest of the day, mate?
We had a busy week on the golf course.
Oh, damn, you poor guy. Let me guess, you're on stress leave next week or something.
I may have just done a slight rotator cuff. No, that's what happens, though, Piggy, you get invited to play. But it's something called Friends. Anyway, I'll tell you about that somewhere down the track. But no, so I might just see if I can pop out to see Grammar take on Varsity, those blue and white academics out there at Merton Road, who think that they're above everyone else and take them down a peg or two.
Yeah, well, you say good day to Jono and the boys and Jonesy and all that for
me.
I
don't talk to any Varsity person. I'm not quite in that academic enough, apparently, so I'll sit here with my Grammar.
I know, if you're an academic, you'd be on, say, somewhere like Radio New Zealand or something, talking rugby. Oh, you've already been on there, haven't you? Yeah. Turned up to studio for Jesse Mulligan, couldn't turn up for me, mate.
You're on fire.
But
I'll be out there going down with my friends. And look, if you're feeling a bit lost and got no one to talk to, come along, because children get in for free.
Well, I'm actually out at Shadbolt Park, Eden Appliance Suburbs, in the Grayson Stevens Cup. And there's have a good laugh out at Suburbs. Obviously, respect Anzac Day. And just enjoy the day. And it's going to be a cracking day to watch a bit of club rugby.
Yeah, and look, get out. If you've got nothing else to do, you know, get out and support the community and see the rugby. Some of the clubs need the support, and just good to turn up on the sideline. You've got to run to someone you know, even yourself, mate, and have a chat and a beer afterwards in the club rooms. That's what it's about, and just relive some old stories and tell lies like I do. It's good fun.
I've always, I know, and I used to think Father Christmas was real too.
Well, you make sure you take that extra little ladder, mate, so you can see above the crowd, and we'll catch up next week.
Yeah, well, don't worry, they've got a vantage point for me at Suburbs, so they like me. And by the way, if I was down in Christchurch, I'd give those red and black fans heaps if they start booing.
They'd be scared of you.
I'm an ex-Cantabrian. I'd always support a New Zealand team above an Australian team. Simple as that.
As you do.
Okay, AJ, have a good weekend, mate. Cheers. And that was brought to you by Father Ted's. Father Ted's are based at 1 Wellesley Street West in the Auckland CBD. They have the best of local draft and international draft beers on taps. They have a selection of bottled beers, fine wines, good spirits, great food and music Wednesday through to Saturday. So make Father Ted's your location to go to. Their number is 09377 3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. Well, we'll just play a bit of music and we'll talk a bit of club stuff.
Here we are in a battle zone, and this is a war. It started in Gallipoli with one. He's my brother in arms, lay fallen in the sand for freedom. So 2,779 Kiwis, 8,709 diggers, 11,488 Anzacs. Lives risked and lost for our freedom in this war.
welcome everyone back. Obviously, we're playing a few Anzac Day songs. Just one thing before we go any further, and I mentioned to our club, Rugby Spot, a big shout out to Force Electrical. Just a little bit about Force Electrical. They were established in 2014 by my old mate Nick Brakovich and have grown into a trusted name across the wider region. Well, why you should choose them, reliability and knowledge that sets them apart. They stay ahead of the latest industry standards and technology. What they do? Well, what can't they do? They do anything from residential, commercial to commercial. Ongoing electrical maintenance, solar panel systems with inverters and battery storage. Also providing ELV solutions. So, if you're looking for any electrical work to be done, whether it's at home or in the office, contact Nick at Force Electrical. His number is 021-628-341, or you can email him nick@forceelectrical.co.nz. Said, well, I have to say it's very significant, and it is Anzac Days, and we speak a bit of club rugby, I suppose, after the horrors of war. People need normality in their lives, and this is why clubs were so valued. Good morning. That's valuable to our service people. Hello, Stephen.
Yeah, good morning, Amon, on this very special of mornings. Anzac Day always a very sort of poignant moment, and listen, all our thoughts go out to all the old diggers, the ones that are obviously still with us, and definitely the ones that have passed. So very special, and I didn't get out to a service this morning. I think I've got a little bit of a big day planned ahead of me, but once again, it's great to see. I drove past where they had a service just local to me, and there seemed like a big crowd there this morning.
It is. A lot of younger people are going there, and, you know, I don't want to have a crack at this government and the previous government. There needs to be more education about Anzac Day. But anyway, that's for another day. Let's have a look. So we go to Northland Club Rugby to start off with. Well, it was a tough day for Mid Northern. No, I'm only joking. They won by default against Omatea Hawks. Obviously, not enough players up there, and I suppose playing Mid Northern, they probably were, even if they could have fielded a side, they were on a hiding to nothing.
It's a big step for Otamatea, who played in the Southern Districts competition. That's sort of like a second tier of the main competition. So coming up to this level, boy, you got to have all your ducks and drakes lined up. And if you do sort of have any sort of injuries, I actually recently believe that they're struggling with props, a few injuries. And I guess it's the old adage, if you can't feel props in Premier Rugby these days, you unfortunately you get to forfeit a game, which is a little bit sad. But that, but Northern will gladly take the 5 points in two hands, and that certainly rockets them up to the table to 30 points, so travelling along quite nicely.
And then we move on to Hikarangi versus Kerikeri, Old Boys Maris versus Western Sharks. I think that's going to be a cracker. Wellsford versus Hora Hora, Ngate Hine Moriwa versus Carmo.
Yeah, interesting. Hikarangi Kerikeri, I think that's eighth versus ninth, although that game is being played at Hikarangi. This could be a very, very even game, but I've heard there's been a bit of improvement in Kerikeri, and former Northern First Five Johnny Cooper, who actually won a couple of club titles down here with Ponsonby a few years ago as a youngster out of Westlake Boys running the cutter there. So I think they might just do the job. And of course, match of the day, I suspect, will be Old Boys Marist versus Western Sharks. That's happening at OBM. OBM a little bit unlucky to go down to Hora Hora in a tight one last weekend, so I think they might just get it right against the visitors this time. Hora Hora, who've been going great guns, sitting in third placing. I tell you what, they've got to travel to Wellsford. It won't be easy, but they will have some of their heavy hitters back. A few of their boys headed over to the Hong Kong Tens last week. I believe they'll be back this weekend. So I think they might be just a bit too strong for Wellsford, who are sitting in second place in their centenary year. And then Ngati Hene, Mortal versus Carmo. Once again, another even game. And these two teams really have to find a win to stay in touch with the top four, mate, I might just go for the home side, Ngati Hine, Wairua.
Absolutely. So we go down the Northern Motorway, and we go into North Harbour. Games already played. Northcote 19, Takapuna 42. A good win for Paul Feeney and Marty Banks. But these are the games in North Harbour rugby today: Maharangi versus Massey, Silverdale versus East Coast Bays, and North Shore versus Cumia. Well, I have to say, these would be the three easiest ones to pick.
I'd have to go agree with you. I heard it was a pretty good effort from Northcote last year. They were in the contest until about the last 10 minutes or so, but Takapuna probably just showed their class, a little bit more experience in that Takapuna side, pulling away to a 42-19 win. Mahurangi sitting in sixth place at the moment, up against the Massey, who's in third place. I think Massey will be looking to bounce back after their loss to North Shore last weekend. Silverdale, East Coast Bay is sitting in fourth place on 15 points. Silverdale on six, just with the one win this season. I think the visitors will get the job done, and of course, possibly the easiest game of the round to pick. North Shore, well, they're pretty much travelling along, three out of three game in hand, and I think they will truck on their merry way.
And then, of course, we go right past, we go over the bridge, we head to the Southern Motorway, we head down to County's Manukau Country, and these are the four games that are on there. Some good ones here: Pukekohe versus Karaka, Bombay versus Weymouth, Papakura versus Mangarewa, and this one, Ardmore Maris versus Patamahaui. So we start off Pukekohe versus Karaka. I think Karaka may be just too good on this one, Stephen.
Yeah, I mean to say, last week, I know we probably got it wrong last week, or maybe I got it wrong, you got it right.
we'll just keep it that way too, mate.
Pukekohe Karaka. Mate, I'm going to go home side on this. I reckon Pukekohe might actually do the job. They're both sitting on 15 points. Probably the only real difference is Karaka capable of scoring more points, but I'm going to go for home side.
I think Bombay should beat Weymouth, and Mangarewa should beat Papakura.
Yeah, those are pretty easy ones to pick. Let's hope there's a bit of an improvement in both Papakura and also Weymouth, and of course, game of the round.
Ardmore Maris versus Patamahaui. This one, you know what, I'd have to give it to Ardmore Maris at this stage, even though Mr. Pitt of Patamahaui, Mr. Budger, Dale Budger, as he's known it, might be sending me a nasty text telling me to support Patamahaui, because I've got a lot of good mates out there. So
Patamahaui capable of scoring a lot of points, but boy, hard to believe they've already had two losses this season. Not often you've looked at a County's Manukau table over the last few years and seen Patamahaui sitting in fifth place, or even Ardmore sitting in first place unbeaten after four games. I'll tell you what, wonderful opportunity for Ardmore Maris to draw a line in the sand this afternoon and just basically get a break on the rest of the pack.
Absolutely. So then we move to Auckland Women's Premier Rugby, and we have three games. Obviously, Ponsonby versus Silverdale, Rifles, College Rifles Massey Cumia, and Maris versus Papatoa. Well, first of all, I think Ponsonby just too good for Silverdale.
Yep, go along with that.
And College Rifles versus Massey Cumia. Now, Massey Cumia, they beat, we said they'll find the realities of Premier Rugby, but they've actually had a win. I think this is going to be a close one. I'm probably still going to give it to Rifles.
Yeah, I think so. Listen, I think it'll be quite an emotional day, given the magnitude of Anzac Day out at College Rifles today.
It always is a big day out there. I've been out there where we've had to play a match out there, and it really is a special day, mate.
Yeah, I think maybe the home side get the job done.
Maris versus Papatoa. I think Maris just too good.
Yeah, I've got to agree with that.
Okay, so we move on to Auckland Men's Premier Rugby, and we started off Ponsonby versus Pakuranga, College Rifles versus Marist and University versus G-Tech. We're going to leave our two clubs to until the end, but we start off Ponsonby versus Pakuranga. You know, Ponsonby had a... You watched them last week, and Pakuranga went down, I believe they went down to uni. But I can tell you something right now. I think this is a close call, but I'm just going to edge it to Ponsonby.
Yeah, I think so. I know they were a tad disappointed that they weren't at their very clinical best last week, but I'd like to think they were put under a little bit of pressure by Waitemata last week. In fact, the Waitemata team that had 9 debutants, which is just absolutely staggering, they hung in the fight, but boy, they've got a couple of decent loose forwards running around. Ricky Rubin and Ahil.
Yeah, Kess. Ricky Rubin's very good, mate.
Oh, he's a very, very, very good footballer.
Hasn't really made that extra step up, which surprises me.
Yeah, probably a little bit of a roadblock. We just know how many good loose forwards there are around Auckland at the moment. And, probably, dare I say it, and they may not like me saying this at Ponsonby, but his future moving forward may lay somewhere else. Another union.
I think you're right. You're stating the obvious. College Rifles versus Marist, and it is this one. Marist were very, very dominant against Suburbs, but College Rifles are really a tough one, almost to the upset of the round with only beating Manukau by 2 points. But I think the emotions of what usually happens on this day at College Rifles, you know, usually 9 times out of 10 I pick Marist, but for this time I think I'm going to pick the Remuera Rifles this time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like College Rifles, that, you know, they got away with a win last week, even though they basically had to work for it against a very gritty Monaco team who I believe is recruited very, very well and predominantly
again.
A lot of time in boys. Oh well, listen,
a bit different from last time.
Yeah, a little bit different from last time. You know, maybe a few players who played at Monaco previously have managed to find their way back to their grassroots, which is great to see. I think I go for college Rifles on this occasion.
Okay, University versus Grammar Tech. Now, I wasn't out, but I believe University have kept on their pre-seed. Grammar Tech did beat Eden, but it was a lot closer than the score represents. And, you know, I suppose for Eden fans, as they said, they're able to bring a guy like Shea Clark off the bench and Josh Renton. It does prove, and I don't know, I think Josh Renton, I think he may have played for Grafton at some stage. That's one of the 20 clubs involved at Grammar. Hope you're listening, Josh.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting one. I know Josh is basically signed again for the Northern NPC team this year. Unsure about Callum Eames this year if he's heading back to Northern. The word that he might be being looked at by Auckland at the moment. So, which is great for Liam. Those players come back, but I reckon you go for Grammar with the home ground advantage.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to go for uni. It's played at uni, mate.
Oh, sorry, university.
You're going to get absolute crap from those university supporters. Let me handle the Grammar guys.
No, I did pick university at the end of the day. It's not Grammar Tech, sorry.
Okay, we go to our two games. Obviously, you're off to Williams Park. You won't be. Hopefully, they're not going to make you do commentary again because I think you want to get back to managing the team. A tough one for you guys. As much as we are friends, after seeing what Manukau can put out on paper and knowing what you guys could do, I really hope that you guys can really give them a good go today.
I'm hoping so. It's going to be a bit of a tough week for Waitemata. We've actually got, obviously started at home with Ponsonby last weekend, but now we've now got 3 games on the road. Obviously, Monaco today, Marist away next week, and then Grammar Tech away before we actually play Suburbs at home on May the 16th, which is going to be the Battle of the West, so to speak. Listen, I would love to pick our guys today, but man, Monaco at home, I just
to be honest, I don't really know what to expect.
Yeah, listen, Stephen, I'm not going to put you in a position. You don't pick anything, mate.
No. That's okay. I'll probably pick Monaco. We don't know what to expect, but we kind of do, if you know what I mean. We know they will be physical and direct, and I think they will probably take a lot of confidence out of their first-up performance against Rifles last weekend. Listen, if we can go there and get something out of the game, maybe a point or two, I would probably be happy with that. If we have a win, I did say to you guys down the club since I went back to the club that I will finally have a beer if we win a game. So I'm either having a beer or I'm.
Hope you're not listening, Brent. I hope you're not listening, Brent.
Awesome.
Yep.
I was gonna say I'll pick Monaco and I'll pick the winner for the final game as well to keep you neutral. I have no doubt. I've seen your boys play this year, and from what I've seen with their scoring, they've been quite plucky in a few games. So, mate, I think Eden will be too strong for Suburbs.
I was going to say the sun will shine on Gribblehurst Park around 4:15, around 4:25, and another Eden victory.
Aren't you playing out at Baylin?
No, we're playing out at Shadbolt Park now. It's for the Grayson Stevens Cup. So it is a special trophy, and I love going out there. I got told off last time because I called them the Grammar of the West because I've got so many clubs. So, yeah, I won't be telling that joke. I think today it's a bit more serious, and I think because of Anzac Day, we'd be respectful to each other. Anyway, Stephen, you have a wonderful weekend, and we will catch up. We'll catch up next week, mate.
No, not a problem at all. Always a privilege and a pleasure, never a chore.
Thank you, mate. That was Stephen Harris. What a wonderful bloke he is. He's such a good bloke. Always enjoy Stephen, and he's very popular among the people that listen to the show. They love the banter, and really good guy. Well, had to do a pre-record this morning with Joey Green, so I might as well get on to this now. Good. Well, welcome back to the Sports Weekend. We get to Rugby League on probably a real symbolic day for both sides of the Tasman on Anzac Day. Here to chat to us is well-known referee and our Rugby League guy, Joey Green. Good morning to you, mate.
Yeah, good morning, mate. I tell you, like you said, it's a very symbolic day to commemorate the Anzac spirit and everything that Anzac Day brings, and a thrill of it to be able to celebrate that too alongside some Rugby League.
Absolutely. Well, while the other codes having their big weekend in Christchurch, the Warriors go to a packed Henry Stadium in Wellington. Apparently, it's huge. Wellington, the Hurricanes say we cannot pack the stadium, but the Warriors can. But a big match, a lucky, I would say, very lucky win against the Titans last week, Joey.
Yeah, definitely right. I think when we look across the first 60 minutes of their game against Gold Coast last week, the Warriors were very dominant in the first half, you know, just managed to chip away, keep chipping away. It showed against Melbourne as well. And then they just kind of fell asleep at the wheel for the last 15, 20 minutes and, you know, very nearly allowed Gold Coast to come back into the game. So it's going to be moments like that, especially against a side like the Dolphins, who, as we touched on it a bit on paper, you know, they're a very star-studded side and can make any teams pay. They nearly made Penrith cost last week. So they're a very talented side, and if the Warriors fall asleep like they did last week, the Dolphins might make them pay for it.
Absolutely. It should be a very, very good match. Looking at the matches last night, well, on Thursday night, what a great win it was for the Tigers versus the Raiders. I have to say, Adam Dewey, there's even talk of State of Origin call up for Adam Dewey at this stage.
Yeah, look, the talks about Adam Dewey possibly getting an Origin selection doesn't surprise me. He's always been quite a talented player, just hasn't had the injury run for the last few years. To be able to give him the chance to play consistent football. And now that he is, everyone's starting to see how much of a talented player he actually can be. Alex Twile, on the other hand, is another one that you've got to think he'd be close to being in the Origin frame as well. Tyrrell May, Jerome Luai starting to find his feet again back in the Tigers system. But I'm really liking the look of this Tigers side. As we've seen the last few weeks, they've really started to challenge, you know, this top four. And I think if they can continue this on, then, you know, Benji Ball will be playing back in September again.
Well, you know what? That crowd out at, I think it was Campbelltown, packed. You know, Benji, for whatever he's done, and he's got what he's wanted from the board, has reinvigorated the Tigers, as far as I can see.
Oh, 100%. You know, the eighth wonder of the world, some might say, Leichhardt Oval. I didn't think it was going to be as packed as it was on a Thursday night, as it traditionally is on a Sunday afternoon. But hey, the Tigers fans proved me wrong. The fans are out and droves. It's great to see where the Tigers are at the moment. You know, we only had to look 2-3 years ago. They were a club in all sorts, and it's probably a reflection of how much they've grown, and you could compare it to where the Dragons are at the moment.
Absolutely. So we move on to last night. Well, this, I didn't see this coming. Cowboys 46, Sharks 34.
Yeah, look, I don't think I saw quite the amount of points that we saw in so last week. Just needed to show a bit more consistency, and it's great for Todd Payton and his team to get the win, but they're just going to need to start finding these kind of results consistently now. It's great getting them, you know, once every now and again, but if they want to be in their top eight come September, they've got to start turning up. Nico Hines in a losing effort was massive for Cronulla.
KL Iroh, mate.
He's massive as well. Sheba Talakai, I thought as well, coming back into the centres, hasn't traditionally played there for the last couple of seasons. He had quite the first half, but tell you what, the Cowboys, they showed last night they've got these glimpses of the potential. They've just got to start putting it out consistently.
Absolutely. So then we move on. Broncos 32, the Bulldogs 12. The Bulldogs, they're on a bit of a slippery slide after that Penrith victory, but Adam Reynolds, really, he proves how crucial he is to the Broncos.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think when you look at the Bulldogs, especially with how the Broncos lined up on paper, it was probably a game that the Bulldogs should be winning if they want to be a contender come the back end of the season. I don't think the writing's on the wall yet, but credit to Adam Reynolds and his team for getting up for this match. You know, Hayes Perham at fullback, he's been a trooper around the NRL for a number of years now. Was a Warriors junior, so it's great to see him still in and around the league. Xavier Willison been making the most of the extra minutes as well, so I think once Payne Haas departs at the end of the season for South Sydney, I think expect Xavier Willison to have an increased role into 2027 and beyond.
Absolutely. And of course then we go to the weekend games, and we started off the Storm versus the Rabbitohs. The Storm, yet another team that really needs to get their mojo back. I'm actually picking a Rabbitohs victory here. I just think the Storm are on they look like a team that's on decline at the moment.
Yeah, they're a very deflated side at the moment, the Melbourne Storm, and hopefully, I know the fans like myself, we'll be hoping that Melbourne can finally turn around. Anzac Day has been one of the happy hunting grounds over recent years to get positive results, and hopefully they can turn it around, especially at home too. But the Rabbitohs, we know when they're in form, how good of a side they can be, and without the performances they showed last week, Latrell scoring 4 tries, Matt Dufty proving still elusive out the back, it's going to be a dangerous task. So I'm going to hope Melbourne turn it around, but if they don't, then you could pretty much call their season done.
Absolutely, I think you probably could. Anyway, then we move on. The Knights versus the Panthers. This one could be a very interesting game, Joey.
Yeah, 100%.
Stop. I better stop you there. I missed the game, and it was the Dragons versus the Roosters, but I think the Roosters are going to be too good. Shane Flanagan sacked midweek. Sorry, Joey.
Yeah, look, I don't blame you for missing the Dragons game, because with how their results have been going, you probably wouldn't want to touch much on them anyway. But with Shane Flanagan gone, and you got a couple of changes in there, Kate Reid finally gets his opportunity at halfback. I don't see their fortunes turning around this week, but I hope that we're able to see an improvement out of this Dragon side, so the Roosters are going to walk away quite comfortably.
Anyway, we get back to what we were originally speaking about, the Knights versus the Panthers. Very interesting game. Knights have been high-flying. The Panthers, you know, they're still the Panthers, Joey.
Yeah, like the Panthers showed last week that, you know, they have a bit of adversity in front of them. They can, you know, albeit go to extra time, they can get the result that they're after. You know, they're still going to be a tough side. But Newcastle, they love the Sunday afternoon time slot. You know, they always seem to pick it out if the weather turns it on. And they've got an opportunity to shift the ball. I think Penrith could be staring down a very dark barrel, but hey. You know, Penrith might just do what Penrith do and turn up and get the job done.
Absolutely. And, of course, the Sea Eagles versus the Eels. Kieran Foran, he is having a really good run at the moment.
Yeah, exactly right. Fosball is, you know, high and mighty at the moment. You know, they've got a few wins on the trot now. Hopefully they can make it another one at home too. Parramatta, geez, they've had a really funny last 2 weeks. You know, they get 50 put on them from the Gold Coast Highland 2 weeks ago. Then they just go out and beat the Bulldogs last week. You know, very convincingly too, with Ronald Volkman into that side as well. Yeah, they've just got to find some consistency as well too, do Parramatta. You know, they've got the capabilities as they've shown the last 2 weeks, but you know, against Manly at home Sunday afternoon, it's going to be a tough job to do. I think Manly will get the job done, but Parramatta hopefully can, you know, not make it an easy one for Manly.
Absolutely. So we go to Fox Memorial. Auckland Rugby League starts this weekend. Couldn't find anything on Tribe, so I had to go to the website. But we have, it is an 8-team Fox Memorial, so we started off. These are the games: Point Chevalier versus Bay Roskill, Otahuhu versus Mount Albert Lions, Papakura versus Manukau. Welcome back to Ponsonby as they play Marist Saints. So the first two, well, you really can't call it because there are less teams. It means there's so many different players coming into these Fox Memorial teams.
No, 100%. There's been so much player movement over, you know, the off season and around clubs. You know, it's going to be a very hard competition to predict this year. When we take a look at the Point Chief Pirates hanging on the Bay Roskill Vikings. Bay Roskill will have a new halfback in Wyatt Rangi. He's spent some time in the Cronulla system as well, so he's a very good buy for Bay Roskill. Point Chief. They've recruited a very young team as well, but they've also got Sam Waterworth joined them from Hibiscus Coast. Been a few weeks in the New South Wales Cup system with the Warriors, and they've continued that relationship in Warriors Reserve Graders. Coming back to Point Chief and playing their trade here, so they're going to still be a team to watch out for. The Otahuhu Leopards in Mount Albert, that's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
You know, Otahuhu still looking strong as anything, you know, compared to their team last year. They have lost a couple of guys, Dan.
Yeah, they have. There's a couple that I'm happy they've seen the light and come to Eden Rugby Club.
Yeah, look, I know Coach Tusalafoili isn't too happy that he's lost a couple of players to the other coach, but hey, they've still recruited very well. They've still got, you know, Sebastian Ikegahifo, Fini Abaka Otakakala still there, Willie Fakatamafi. You know, they've still got some very key pillars from the Fox Memorial winning side last year. And Mount Albert, on the other hand, have also recruited quite nicely. They've got Jules Baker come across from Point Chevalier, their fleet-footed fullback. So they're going to be a very dangerous side to watch. Well, I could see Mount Albert getting the upper hand on this one.
And of course, Papakura versus Manukau, Ponsonby versus Marist Saints. So, with Papakura, have they recruited any big names, or have Manukau recruited any big names?
Papakura, they haven't recruited any big names to say, but what they have done really well is they've recruited players who have filled a gap that they've needed. They've recruited Lonnie Papani, who is coming off an ACL injury from last year. He moves across to Papakura from Glenora. He's a very talented hooker. A couple of years ago, he was playing for the Yakarana Falcons from a Sharman Cup side, so that just shows how talented he is. And it plugs a gap they needed in an extra hooker. They've always kind of had a hooker to get them through, but now they've got, you know, a hooker coming off the bench who can do a very capable job for them. Manukau, on the other hand, have recruited a lot of the forwards coming out of Ōtara. Ōtara have always kind of been one of those sides who are a very good Sharman Cup side, but when they've made the step up to the Fox Memorial, they haven't quite replicated that form. So a lot of the better Ōtara players have moved across and come to, and have come to Monaco, and obviously their hopes are playing Fox Memorial, but hopefully boost the Magpie shot. So I still think Papakura are just going to be strong enough.
Ponsonby Ponies versus Marist Saints. Just quickly, Simon Aramea involved with Marist Saints?
Yes, Simon Aramea is back for another year at the Marist Saints.
He always tells me, every time I see someone, it's the last year, but he just can't give it up. He's obviously got the respect of players, Simon.
100%. He's a great coach, does a lot for the Marist Club, well respected around Marist as well, so it's great to see him back another year. They've recruited quite well, Caleb Lehman. Spent the time at the Warriors reserve grade side last year. He's back at Marist. They've got a couple of young guys. Militoni Sikavia played SG Ball for the Warriors. Is at Marist this year. Ponsonby, on the other hand, they've recruited very well this year. They've got Dylan Tavita moves across to there from Otahuhu. Ben Watson Benedict also moves across from Otahuhu. They've got a number of guys who have been in and around the Warriors New South Wales Cup system for a number of years now, so they're going to be, you know, a quiet team who teams, a lot of these Fox Memorial clubs will underestimate, but don't be surprised if they get the 2 points over Marist this afternoon.
Absolutely. Well, we'll just finish it off. Steel Shanks Women Premiership, Otahuhu Leopards versus Mangere East Hawks, Mangere with Marlins versus Mount Albert, and Richmond versus Manukau. Well, just if you can wrap up those games in 1 minute, Joey.
Yeah, look, Otahuhu versus Mangere. Mangere are going to be a very young side, as we saw last year. A lot of Dave Newey's players come out of Auckland Girls Grammar, so no doubt they're going to be a team to build for the future, but Otahuhu looking strong again, so I think they're going to walk away quite comfortably in that one. Manurewa are going to be a team to watch in this competition. A lot of their players moving over from Papakura, and they take on Mount Albert, who aren't going to be a bad side as well, but if we know what the Papakura's women's team were like last year, Manurewa are just going to be just as strong. Richmond and Manukau. Manukau is a side we haven't seen in the women's premiership for a number of years. Now they're going to be a young side. A lot of their players coming back from the Bulldogs, Tasha Gale system. So, you know, they're going to be a very high-quality side, albeit a bit young. Richmond will have a lot of experienced players this year, but I think, the usefulness and, you know, the passion that the Monaco girls will bring might get them home this afternoon.
Absolutely. Well, Joey Green, thank you so much for your time. I know that you've refereeing a Juicy Fleck match down in Hamilton, and I hope it goes well.
Cheers for the support, mate. Always happy to jump on, and we'll chat again next week.
Cheers, thanks.
And that was Joey Green from Joey Green giving us the Rugby League report. That was brought to you by WaterSmart. Weekend mission sorted, mate. Wash your car, rinse the boat, clean the bait station, keep the wife's tomato plants happy. All with a WaterSmart tank. No water restrictions, no worries. Different sizes to suit your property. Check out watersmart.co.nz and take control today. So, next up, we're going to speak a bit of cricket with Garth Galloway.
Be the same in Port Lincoln since they rolled the cameras there. Roll up and be a movie extra. Take it lightly if you dare, and give the man a uniform, give the man a gun. He's your younger brother, and he's your only son. This is Gallipoli. They could have been your mates, they could have been me. You can't blame a bloke who likes adventure. He saw the posters on the wall. See the world through the sights of a rifle. Grab your mates and go to war. And give the man a bayonet, give the man a hat. Land him on the beaches. 8,000 never came back. A rat-a-tat-tat. This is Gallipoli.
their ground. And men like Simpson upheld the spirit of the digger who gives a maid a hand. And in the end they showed the world the spirit of Australia. So things will never be the same in Port Lincoln since they made a movie there. Knock off the shearing and knock off the fishing, bring up the clippers and knock off the hair, and give the man a uniform, give the man a gun. He's your younger brother and he's your only son. This is Gallipoli, and don't you forget, you are the diggers of the Anzac.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. Just before we go to Garth Galloway, this is a special mess. This is brought to you by Enterprise Recruitment. Finding the right people can be hard and many unexpected surprises. So cut out those unexpected surprises by contacting Enterprise Recruitment. They will find you the right candidate to suit your business needs. So contact enterprise.co.nz. They have branches nationwide. Well, it is Anzac Day, and it's good to have a chat. We're talking a bit of cricket, and here to chat to us, our cricket man himself, Mr. Galloway. How are you,
Garth? Hey, Eamon, I'm great, thank you, mate. And yeah, the stadium's underway in Christchurch. It's going to be 20 degrees today. Life is good.
It is, and I'll tell you what, it's great for the economy down there. But we must get to the things at hand. New Zealand versus Bangladesh. I will say this, that New Zealand had a lot of players out with IPL, and so did Bangladesh, if we want to go down there. But they went down in a series to Bangladesh 2-1. But while it was pretty much a loss. Dean Foxcroft really impressed me. Nick Kelly and Will O'Rourke, good to see him.
Yeah, look, I think I've just read an article by Rob Walter, the New Zealand coach, talking about how the New Zealand fringe players will be better off for that experience. And I think that's exactly right. I mean, there wasn't anything really riding on the series. Bangladesh is a particularly tough place to go and play. You've seen that the pitches are largely lifeless, and so it doesn't make for a great spectacle at times, Eamon. But I thought the New Zealand side actually did pretty well. They did well to win that first game, and I thought Foxcroft's innings was fabulous there. And we saw a couple of very good innings, and in fact, a couple of good innings by Foxcroft throughout the series. Really measured and pacing himself beautifully in that middle order. And I think Nick Kelly's performances with a couple of 50s as well stood out with the bat. I suppose some concerns that Will Young still is not sort of kicking into gear and scoring runs, and Latham had a poor series by his standards as well. But both of those players are quality players, and I'm sure that we'll see them scoring plenty of runs in the future. So I thought it was really interesting. I thought they looked like a happy bunch. They hung together well. I think Rob Walter's bringing a very positive attitude to them. The other thing is wonderful, and you mentioned Will O'Rourke, to see him. I thought he bowled particularly well in the third game, picking up those three wickets. And another player who I've mentioned on your program who continues to impress me is Shane Lennox. I think
he's
a terrific player, and possibly could look for higher honours further in the future. But all in all, I think they'll be disappointed, Eamon, with the way they played in the second and third games. They were poor there. They lost their way a bit with the bat. But I think, there's a lot to take out of the series, and I see it as more positive than negative, that's for sure. And I think it's just great giving these younger players and some of those guys like Kelly and Tickner who've been around for a long time, just getting them in the mix, playing international cricket and ready should they be called upon in the future.
And I think it's good. It's giving them that experience. Obviously, we go to the 5 2020 matches, and that will be interesting to watch. But during the week, Susie Bates, White Ferns, an absolute legend of the game and a person that has confirmed her retirement. She said she'll retire after the 2020 World Cup. Yeah, well, I was just going to say, you better get selected first, Susie, but in fairness to her, she's been a fantastic servant of the game. I know that, you know, in the past we have, you know, I've had my doubts in her later on in her career, but she did have a fantastic innings in the last one day against South Africa. But really, it could be a perfect way to send off a legend, Gar.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, I mean, it'll be very interesting to see if she gets picked. Susie wouldn't be in my starting 11 for the World Cup, but, and I did, as I said to you, find it very hard to understand her batting at number 8 and being the sort of off spinner on the side, but you've got to reflect on a career that has been magnificent. I mean, she has been, you know, just an icon for New Zealand women cricketers. She has always held herself impeccably. You know, she's a remarkable athlete. She's clearly kept herself in top physical condition over a long period of time, and that's not easy to do. And notwithstanding, you know, a little bit of the light going out in the last couple of seasons, her contribution is, I mean, it is magnificent. 181 ODIs, 181 T20 games. I mean, that's an extraordinary amount of cricket for her country. And her records, you know, are world class. Her ODI record, she averages 38. Her strike rate is 80, which is absolutely fine. And the T20s, an average of 29 at a strike rate of 108. And the women's cricket, you know, she leaves the game as one of the great players of the game, I think. And I'm talking about one of the great international players. In terms of New Zealand, you know, I think she ranks right up there with the likes of Debbie Hockley and Emily Drum. And, you know, she rightly deserves the plaudits. I hope she has a wonderful time in the World Cup in England. You know, and if she does get on the field, I hope she performs to the high standards that she sets herself. But, you know, I think we should all be thanking her and praising her for a wonderful career. She's given us a hell of a lot of pleasure over an extraordinary amount of time.
Yep, and that's well said, Garth. And I think, you know, we all the best to Susie. You know, and, you know, I think the big thing is that if she makes a size, that it'll be a good way for her to bow out of international cricket. Well,
yeah, I mean, I was thinking also, though, if she doesn't, she'll still be, you know, she's the sort of person you can see how, one of the reasons I think they clearly want her there is because of the contribution she makes to the wider group. And so if she's not in the playing 11, I don't have any doubt at all that that she'll still be contributing in the way that Susie does.
Absolutely. Well, we move on to New Zealand Cricket will soon announce a new CEO. Apparently, it is down to two, Jeff Allett and Lee Jamon. Jeff Allett, who has, you know, is a very fine administrator of the game. Lee Jamon, who moved from Canterbury Cricket to New South Wales Cricket. Interesting to see how this appointment works out. Two Cantabrians, by the way, too, Garth.
Not a bad thing. Look, I read an article this morning saying that Lee's pulled out, and so
Jeff Allett's.
Yeah, so it does look like it's Jeff's to lose, really. I mean, Jeff will be, I think, an excellent CEO. I remain somewhat appalled by what happened in relation to Scott Winnick. I think he was doing a very, very fun job in New Zealand cricket and has been poorly. Jeff, I think, would come, and he does, as you say, he has a record in cricket administration. He's got a strong business record. He has very strong relationships in India through his business connections with Quality NZ. And he's a person of high integrity who I think would front the organisation well. So no problems at all with Jeff. He's well connected and well liked, and he knows how to work a room and get around people and include people. Again, I think the sort of qualities that Scott had. But I think that Jeff, you know, he does have deep cricket relationships, and I think he would make a pretty good fist of it at quite a challenging time.
I think it's probably appropriate that he comes in. Obviously, he's got a big job ahead of him too, Garth.
Yeah, well, I'd be positive about his appointment. I think, you know, he's a hell of a good guy, Jeff, and well-liked. and I think he has the right sort of pedigree to take it on and do a good job. And again, as I said to you, it's at a challenging time, so he'll have to tread carefully and you know, I guess just row his own boat and make sure that he's got the support of a board. Yeah, as I say, they're difficult times for cricket at the moment. It's not easy, and there are a lot of issues. But I think Jeff is well suited to be there and to navigate his way through them.
And while we speak of Anzac Day, your father, Ian, the great cricket commentator, also was in the Royal New Zealand Army, but we were just talking about Anzac Day, and your father, in the first 11, I believe, he played in Christ College. It's an very, very sad story.
Well, he played in the first 11 in 1939 and 1940, and somewhat depressingly, because he could be slightly depressive, father, he would always say the school days were the best days of his life, which didn't say much for being a father and bringing up children and all of those things, but and law, which he didn't enjoy at all. But look, they lost, his first 11 of 1940 was a very good side, and they lost six of them, six out of 11 were killed in the Second World War. And when I look back at Dad's personality, and at times he wasn't an easy man, I've often thought that that those experiences clearly coloured his life. You know, when you come out of a secondary school, he was a boarder, so you formed close relationships with your mates, and sport was a big thing in his life, as you know. And I think when you come out of something like that and you leave school and you're full of optimism, and then it's into war eventually, and you see six of your great mates being killed, you know, obviously that's going to colour how you see life, I think. And I do think those experiences were very difficult for him. And I'm just about to go and have some bacon and eggs with my in-laws. My father-in-law, Richard Batchelor, his father was killed at casino. You know, Richard was only 6 years old when he lost his father. So we, you know, it's a poignant day, for so many people. And, we went to casino last year when we were overseas. It's just, to tell you what, walking around those war graves, Eamon sends a shiver down your spine. It moved me to tears. I walked in there and just started bawling my eyes out, because at casino, you know, where the Italians, you know, where the troops suffered so many losses, and they were against the Italians, and it's the Italians who look after the war graves now. And it's immaculate. It's quite incredible to see the loss of life of all these young men who, again, you know, lives so full of optimism and cut short so really.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you see some, like I went to Te Papa and they had this brilliant Gallipoli, yeah. And I can tell you something, it is chilling.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, these guys were put through brutal conditions, and actually I've just been listening to a very interesting documentary on or an item on National Radio where they were interviewing the playwright who's written a play about Archibald Baxter, who was of course a conscientious objector in the First World War, and his book We Shall Not Cease is, you know, it's well worth a read for everybody, coming from a slightly different angle obviously, but they're it's a day that stirs up a lot of emotions, and we think of all of those people who, you know, fought and died for their country, the ultimate sacrifice, as they say.
Absolutely, and I'm going to say this right now. It's still, thank goodness we have a day where basically nobody's trying to push their own agendas, political or social. This is a day of reflection, Garth.
Yeah, it sure is, and you know, it's amazing how the younger generation have got into it, isn't it? You know, we just went for a walk up in the hills this morning with Bradman the Labrador, and we wandered through about a couple of hundred people up there. There's a memorial up in the Port Hills to the 19th Battalion. Mm. And they held a service up there on Anzac Day, which is, it's fantastic. These people walking up a long way to get to it. And it's a really beautiful memorial. And you walk through it and it looks out to the west, to the Southern Alps. And the families of the people who were part of that battalion look after it. So you see them up there with strimmers over the summer clearing away the place, and they look after it with great pride, you know. And I saw actually a program on TV last night on the news where they've just tidied up the war memorials in Cheviot. I mean, I don't know if you saw that, but if anyone's driving through there, have a look, because it was falling into disrepair, and now through the community they've tidied it up and remade the plates and things, and it looks absolutely wonderful.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Well, you have a wonderful Anzac Day, and at least we forget, and thank you so much for your time, Garth.
You too, mate. Nice to talk. Well, love to all of you. Cheers.
Cheers. Garth Galloway, brilliant, lovely. What a brilliant man he is. Anyway, next up we speak to Seamus Martin, a bit of football.
Understanding of what it means to be Australian.
A drover drifting over western plains. He's a city lad, a clock down Flinders Lane. They're in the trenches at Lone Pine and on the Flanders firing line. A wheeling band of ordinary men. He's all a man. He's one of us.
Welcome everyone to the sports, back to the sports weekend. A special shout out to Robert Thompson from Barford and Thompson Epsom Branch. If you're looking to buy, looking to sell, looking to get on that Auckland property market, well, there's one person you need to get hold of. It's Robert Thompson from Barford and Thompson and Epsom Branch. Robert has a fantastic reputation in the real estate industry. For one, getting results. Two, for professionalism. And three, for being a good bloke as well too. So give Robert a call. His number is 021-737-949, or you can email them r.thompson@barfords.co.nz. Good morning to Seamus Martin from Between Two Pairs. Have to say, Seamus, real symbolic day in today, Anzac Day, and I know that your father, I believe, was English, your mother's from the Solomons, but both the Solomon Islands and of course the United Kingdom and of course New Zealand and Australia really they knew about the conflicts of war.
Yeah, it is always nice to look back and reflect on those that have allowed us to have the freedom that we enjoy today. I think particularly, you know, given everything that's going on in the world, it's important to take a look back at what's happened and where we've been and acknowledge where we are today. I think it was also a really nice touch of Auckland FC on their last home game last week to acknowledge those that have served in the various armed forces and give a chance for their home crowd to also acknowledge them. So, yeah, plenty of acknowledgements across all sport today. And for me personally, Anzac Day always brings back memories of the first round of a Chatham Cup. There'll be a lot of preliminary matches going around the country today. So Anzac Day for me synonymous with that Chatham Cup and always wearing a poppy down to the club rooms and having enjoying that, acknowledging that moment's silence beforehand, just to think about those that have given so much to allow us to where we are today.
Anyway, we move on to Auckland, to the AFC. Well, we've got our top four. Christchurch, South Island United is there. Auckland FC, we have a Pro League, which is the top four. A leaders group, and we have a challengers group. Now, I've worked this out. It's taken me a long time to work this out because I'm not the smartest drawer. I'm not the smartest knife in the drawer at times, Seamus. But what happens is, to get into the semi-final, the winner of the challenger will take on the fourth place of the leaders group.
Yeah, and I think what's really important here is that, you know, if you look at from sixth position, Tahiti United, through to third, Buller FC, there's really only 4 points that separate those. So it's going to be really interesting, that challenger group, which comprises of the Solomon Kings, Tahiti United, Vanuatu United, and PNG Hikari. Who is going to be the team from those four that challenges the fourth place team out of that leaders group, which on paper you would suggest would be one of Buller FC and South Island United? I think South Island United are starting to find a bit of form, but so are Buller. So those games which are coming up in early May back here in New Zealand, are going to be really, really interesting. I think, I don't want to count them out, but even because everyone starts from scratch, but I think really if you look on paper, PNG Hikari United are probably, you know, the weakest team that we've seen so far. Even them have been able to turn around and pick up results as we progress through this competition. So, yeah, fascinating way, a good way, I think, to keep excitement going with those teams in the bottom half of the competition, with them all vying for one spot to try and force their way into those semi-finals before the first ever champion is crowned on the 24th of May. So plenty of OSC Pro League action to come. South Melbourne really sent a real warning shot across the bow, I think, to everybody with an 8-1 demolition of Tahiti United in one of those pickup games in Fiji last week. So, look, they're probably coming into form at just the right time, playing in their own Victoria Premier League, which will keep them keep the tools sharpened week in, week out. And but look, I think it's going to be hard for anyone to mow down or catch up with Auckland FC. But look, all of those games which kick off on the 6th of May onwards, they're going to be really, really important. So, you know, almost the league phase or the circuits were the dress rehearsal for this big tournament which is coming up in Auckland in a few weeks' time.
Anyway, we move on to Northern League Men's, and of course we started off Auckland City FC versus Fencibles. We have Eastern Suburbs versus Tauranga, Birkenhead versus Western Springs, your Melville versus East Coast Bays at home, and Auckland United versus Manukau.
Well, first up, a bit of an embarrassing night last night at Fred Taylor Park, wasn't it, with that Auckland FC Reserves Bay Olympic game being postponed, turning up with no pitch markings, which was a bit of a shame. I think a few people excited for Friday night football, but that'll be rescheduled to another occasion. Auckland City versus Fencibles is going to be really interesting. Fencies, as you might know, really set the world on fire in the early weeks, but they're starting to slow down. They're still in third place, and Auckland City starting to find form. So, look, I'm going to tip Auckland City to win that one over Fencies at Kiwitea Street. Eastern Suburbs, in my mind, should be too strong for Tauranga City, who have got the wobbles. Very strong at home, but perhaps the away form not as strong as we've seen in the past. Western Springs are a real shadow of their former selves. We spoke about the OFC Pro League earlier. A lot of the top players from Western Springs have been picked up by some of those OFC Pro League clubs, so they're not the strength we saw last year, the defending Northern League champions. They're in seventh at the moment. Birkenhead were really comfortable in defeating my Melville United away from home. They're top of the league. I think Burko will be too strong there. Your mob, East Coast Bays, or Yatesy's mob, whoever it is, are unbeaten at the moment in the Northern League, sitting in second spot. They come down to Hamilton today to take on Melville. Melville desperate for a home win. Haven't had one so far this season, but I think that game will end in a draw. And Auckland United versus Manukau United. Manukau seem to be the team that are struggling the most at the moment. I think Auckland United, while they showed early patches of form, have just tapered off a little bit. But I think Auckland United will be too strong for Manukau in that game.
Okay, and then we move on to Northern League Women's. And, of course, gameplay last night, bit of an upset. Fencibles 2, West Coast Rangers 0. These are the games this week in the Northern League Women's Premier. It is Ellerslie versus Western Springs, FC Tauranga Moana versus your mob at Melville, and Eastern Suburbs versus Auckland United.
Look, Western Springs are struggling. You know, Ben Bates come in replacing Katie Duncan as the coach there. I still don't think he's had enough time to try and turn that ship around. They're bottom of the league against Ellerslie, who are a tidy side themselves. I think Ellerslie will win that one today. Tomorrow, it's a bit of a local derby, a clash of the Kaimais, FC Tauranga Moana versus Melville. These two teams are part of that bottom three pack, which includes Western Springs. I think that one might end up in a draw, because, you know, I can't tip against my own club, so when I think maybe we don't start as favourites, I always sit on the fence and say that's a draw. Read into that what you will. And then Eastern Suburbs against Auckland United is one of those top-of-the-table clashes at the moment. Auckland United, curiously, taking on the Wellington Phoenix yesterday in a bit of an exhibition game, a pickup game for the Wellington Phoenix before they get into the elimination finals. And that finished 2-2, which I thought was a really interesting result. So I think Auckland United will be too strong for Eastern Suburbs, but that's a tasty one on paper.
And we talk about the Phoenix, men's Phoenix. Obviously not a great way to end their season. There'll be a few people in that Phoenix, especially defenders, will be very, very nervous, as that was not a good dress rehearsal in front of Darren Baisley. But also the big news, will Alex Rufus stay?
Yeah, look, you can't see me, but I'm wincing when I reflect back on that performance last night against MacArthur. 4-0 defeat, not the way you want to sign off your campaign. They wanted to finish the team just outside the top six and seventh spot, but they didn't really fire a shot. I think the absence of Rufa out with suspension last night probably, you know, maybe was a little bit of a factor. You're spot on in terms of some of the defending. It just didn't cover themselves in glory, did they, some of those Wellington Phoenix players? And the result looks pretty one-sided. I don't know whether Alex Rufa will be wearing Wellington Phoenix colours next season. If you listen to some reports, it's a deal done to another A-League club. I think Chris Greenacre, the sooner they can confirm him in the seat, the sooner he can have those conversations with clarity. But Wellington Phoenix, it's going to be a long off-season for them. I think there'll be a few players that we probably won't see back in the capital next season, maybe a brand new group of players, which is a little bit frustrating, I think, for the fans, but also there's a little bit of excitement maybe as to who might be lining up next season. So, look, I don't know at this stage whether Rufa will be part of that. They'll be desperately disappointed, I think, if he isn't in the capital next year, but he's got to do what's right for him and his family as well. And if he's got an opportunity with another club, then so be it. I'm sure he'll leave with the club's best wishes. But the other one, the real big one in my mind, is that Sydney FC versus Auckland FC game. What's your tip for that one, Eamon?
Ooh, I'm going to back against. I think Sydney will win.
Yeah, I think on current form, that could well be the case. Look, I also think Auckland FC, while they won't want to, they could afford to lose this game and still remain in second place. That's how tight this top six is. When you look at the Adelaide versus Melbourne City game, which is coming up, Adelaide in third, Melbourne City in fifth, but City are they're absolutely flying. But Auckland's goal difference might just stand them in a really positive stead. They're plus 13 on 41 points, but it'll be an interesting one. Look, I think Auckland might just have this thing about them this season where they play better against bigger and better opposition. We didn't see it against Melbourne Victory a couple of weeks ago. We certainly didn't see it last week against the Central Coast Mariners. But there was a really polished performance when they took on Sydney the last time away. It was a midweek encounter. I think they scraped home with a point. A point could be enough tomorrow. We'll see how it goes. But, geez, that's lining up as a really interesting one to see whether they'll be in the elimination finals next week or hosting a home semi-final in a few weeks' time. So I'm sure Steve Corica would enjoy a week off, a chance to freshen the pack and get maybe some of his walking wounded back into the matchday squad. But, geez, that's an exciting one for me.
And then we move on. EPL, of course, big win for Nottingham Forest, 5-0 over Sunderland. I think it's more or less safe. Chris Wood on the score sheet. So, yeah.
It was a huge result for Nottingham Forest, who were starting to pull away. Stadium of Light, Sunderland's home ground, hasn't been a happy hunting ground for a lot of teams so far this season. So Forest moved to 39 points, elevating them, you know, out of that relegation zone. But the only fixture that I'm looking at for this weekend is that Wolves versus Spurs game. That is really interesting. Wolves, the bottom place team, Spurs in 18th in the relegation zone. They desperately need a win, and a win could come against the bottom place team, but strange things happen in football. But there's plenty of action to go through in that EPL, isn't there?
Absolutely. So I'm going to run through the games, and then we're going to end with the FA Cup. So we have Fulham versus Villa, West Ham versus Everton, Wolves versus Spurs.
Wolves versus Spurs, as I said, I think Wolves could win that one. Liverpool versus Palace, I want to say Liverpool win that, but Crystal Palace have been a thorn in Liverpool's side, you know, for a few times there. And Fulham versus Villa is interesting as well. The bookies have got Fulham as the favourites in that game, but two very evenly placed sides. I'm going to suggest that finishes in a draw and Liverpool win against Palace to heap pressure on Aston Villa in that fourth spot.
Okay, so, you said Liverpool, Palace, Spurs. I'm just going to say this one, Arsenal versus Newcastle, Manchester United versus Brentford, and we haven't mentioned the relegation games.
Yeah, look, Arsenal versus Newcastle, Arsenal have got the wobbles, haven't they, big time? I wonder whether Newcastle could upset the apple cart and really put a dampener on Mikel Arteta's plans. I'm going to tip a Newcastle win in that game. United versus Brentford, again, this is a really tasty encounter. I think United are too strong. And where's my West Ham fans?
Speedy, are you listening?
My West Ham fans, I, here's a huge one, am tipping you to win against Everton.
Oh, God. So, if you're going past the betting shop, put your money on Everton.
Exactly.
And,
exactly,
of course, Spurs versus Wolves. Well, yeah, I think Wolves could beat Spurs. But anyway, that's there and thereabouts. I've got Andy Thompson and Miles Davis on. One's a Spurs supporter. And, of course, we all know who Miles barracks for. So, yeah.
Yeah, look, I am tipping Wolves to beat Spurs in that one. I just think there's a lot of misery around the London Stadium, around that club, and they might just need to drop down to the Championship to reset and be the club that they think they need to be and get back in the big time, bounce straight back up, but maybe just draw a line through this season, get into the Championship, really get some confidence back and get back into the Premier League in two seasons' time.
Yeah. Anyway, we move to the FA Cup. Manchester City versus Southampton and Chelsea versus Leeds.
Yeah, look, Southampton, really interesting, isn't it? How they've gone. They're the giant killers. I think Man City will probably win that game. And then, you know, the other match is a real toss of a coin. I think Leeds could end up, you know, going through and going deep into this FA Cup. But, God, that's the magic of it, isn't it? You could toss a coin. Whoever is on the day, you know, maybe we see penalties. It's really fascinating how evenly that is pitched.
It certainly is. So, yeah, Manchester City should beat Southampton and Chelsea. Well, as much as I think, well, with Leeds have got nothing to lose, they're pretty much secure, and they're in there. So, yeah, just give us a minute. And so, I just won't be a second there, Seamus.
No, look, I think you're right. Look, with everything that's going on with Chelsea at the moment, you know, with the sacking of Liam Rossini, you know, with this match on the line, I just think the time is right for Leeds to be able to spring an upset on paper. And, yeah, look, it's going to be... Look, this is the magic of the Cup, right? This is why the FA Cup has captured the imagination of so many people for so long. So, look, I'm tipping Man City to meet Leeds in the next round.
OK, I won't be able to have a chat because I've just got our next guest lined up. You have a wonderful Anzac weekend, Seamus.
Cheers, mate. You take it easy.
Cheers. Well, thank you so much to Seamus. And, of course, now I've got a very special guest, and it's great to have him to celebrate the Anzac spirit. And I'll just need to set myself a minute there. So let me have a look. Oh, shit. I'll try him again. So I just have Gordon Bray. Hi, Gordon. We're ready to go when you are, young man.
Excellent. I'm with you.
Okay, well, we're on air live.
Japan.
Yes, so this is where you are, Gordon. You're off the coast of Japan at this time, are you?
We are indeed, yes. I was up very early this morning at 4 a.m. at dawn to pay my respects on board the ship. We're at sea at the moment, travelling with... three other mates and their wives. It's a birthday celebration, so very special on Anzac Day.
It certainly is, and you know, Anzac Day really holds some special, it's really special for both sides of the Tasman, and when I look at it, it means so much for both our countries.
Can I just give you a couple of examples? There's a match to be played today in Melbourne between Melbourne University and the Powerhouse Club, and it's going to be played for the Bissett Dunlop Trophy, named after Sawiri Dunlop, who played against the All Blacks in 1932 at the SCG, and they had a win, by the way. And he became head of the POW camp on the Burma Railway in World War II. And he was responsible for saving many thousands of lives as a medical man and as a leader. And he was obviously a wallaby who became a war hero. And Stan Bissett, he also was picked for the Wallabies for their tour of Britain in 1939. They never played again. They arrived in England, but unfortunately they didn't get to play because of the Second World War. And he became a hero on the Kokoda track and the beaches of Gona. His brother Butch died in his arms. So they're two Wallabies who became war heroes, and I think that's really what this match in Melbourne is all about today. The players and the fans will pay their respects for the ultimate sacrifice.
And of course, when we look at Anzac Day, and of course, it's a great weekend of sports. Obviously, we've got the Super Round in New Zealand, the new Christchurch Stadium, One New Zealand Stadium, Takaha, and I don't know whether you've had a chance to see, but it was an absolute packed house out there to watch the Crusaders beat the Waratahs.
Yeah, was it? No, we're all watching here. Don't worry about that. It was a cracking game and terrific comeback there by the Crusaders after they'd been through a little bit of a lean trot. They shook off those losses and they were back to their very best form, and they just had a little bit too much class on the night for the Waratahs, I thought, who probably paid the price for picking a whole new front row in the first half. The scrum let them down a bit, and also their line-out was a problem, so those set piece areas were probably a cutting edge advantage for the Crusaders, but thought the Waratahs tackled very well, and it was a very entertaining game, and what a brilliant stadium and atmosphere.
And when I think about it, Gordon, you have a look at it. Having the Super Round in New Zealand next year, because of the demise of Moana Pacific, it will have a trans-Tasman feel. But I think having rugby on this, having rugby, the Super Round on this side of the Tasman, and then having the NRL and AFL on your side of the Tasman, and it's just that I personally think the way Australian sports does Anzac Day is something that New Zealand sports needs to follow.
Yeah, look, I think it's a very good point. There's another wonderful story I must quickly tell you. One of the people on the boat, John O'Connor, used to play for Manly. He comes from Harton. He's a farmer. And in the neighbouring village of Murrumburra, there is a full-size statue of a horse called Bill the Bastard. And Bill the Bastard was a stock horse from the district, and he was a hero on the slopes of Gallipoli. He was a very difficult horse, but because of his size, he was over 17 hands. He was able to carry more wounded soldiers down the slopes and apparently save hundreds of lives. So if you ever go to Murrumburra, in the south of New South Wales, you'll see Bill the Bastard, who was a hero at Gallipoli. But yeah, look, the NRL has been terrific. The West Tigers, Bendy Marshall, they're certainly on fire, aren't they?
And oh, brilliant.
In the top four. It's just been, I can't believe the Raiders are where they are at the moment in 14th spot. And again, a big win by the injury-hit Broncos last night against the Bulldogs. What about the Melbourne Storm, second bottom? It's crazy stuff at the moment, but I'm not writing any of those great sides off because they've proven what can be done, and the Panthers did it last year after a horrible start to the season.
Absolutely, and AFL, there's going to be 100,000 close to 100,000 at the MCG this weekend.
Yeah, it's just amazing, isn't it? Melburnians, it's the sporting capital of Australia, although I'm a Sydney sider. I can't walk away from the fact that Melburnians will turn out in force. I remember we had a Bledisloe Cup match at the MCG, and we had over 80,000 people in an Aussie rules city. But look, the Swans, the Sydney Swans are on top. They're the outright leaders at the moment. They had a big win last night against the Bulldogs, and the Premiers Brisbane are back in ninth place at the moment. But it's again a huge celebration right across Australia, and you've got to say that AFL is our number one football code nationally.
Absolutely, and of course now we're going to talk about rugby union. The Australian Rugby Union, on the back of that Lions tour last year, has made over $100 million Australian dollars in profit. That is huge for Australia. It's a financial boost they really, really needed.
When you consider we had a mortgage this time last year of $80 million before the Lions Tour, and the fact that Lions Tour was able to turn the whole thing around financially is a real credit to Rugby Australia. And I call out Phil Waugh, the
Gordon,
for the Australian Rugby Union. Two great Wallabies. They've rolled their sleeves up and they've set the example, and there's been fiscal prudence and efficiency. And now with the World Cup coming up in Australia next year and the Women's World Cup in 2029, things are looking very promising. I think, great credit to Rugby Australia and the board, because they have been able to turn it round. They've taken over the franchises of the Brumbies, which has been very important, and also the Waratahs. They've centralised things there, and that's saved a lot of money as well. So things are looking very positive, and with the World Cup next year, it's all systems go.
And, of course, also looking at Australian sport, the Scout Gout, what a fantastic athlete he is. But I believe we've got another one we're lending to you, another athlete we're lending to you as well, too.
Yeah, look, Gout, what, he's 18 years of age. He looks like a young Usain Bolt. He's tall, he's lanky, he's unlimited potential. Even Usain Bolt has come through and said, look, the important thing for now is that he is well managed and he doesn't lose sight of the fact of what he has to achieve and what the business is at this moment. But on that score, his coach has been with him since he was a youngster. His family keeps him grounded, so I'm very confident that he can keep progressing. The name of the other sprinter you mentioned, I couldn't pronounce it, but I know that he's run the fastest 100 metre time in Australian history. So we've got three sprinters at the moment, the other two just behind Gout, who are making world headlines and were making the track and field world sit up and take notice. So that's very exciting as well. Athletics Australia.
You've got another crowded house on your hands, but New Zealand Athletics dropped the ball on that one with that fella. Anyway, I was reading something on LinkedIn, and you put a post up about John Donaldson. So those who don't know who John Donaldson is, he is the father of Queen Mary of Denmark. Now, I read this, and Gordon, please don't take offence, I was thinking, Gordon, you knew Queen Mary. I was thinking Queen Mary of England, but it is Queen Mary of Denmark, so I do apologise there, Gordon. But just tell us the story about the late John Donaldson.
Well, many years ago, I was transferred from Sydney with ABC Sport down to Hobart for my first posting, and I played for a club down there called Associates. And the captain of that club was John Donaldson, who became the father of Queen Mary of Denmark. And John Donaldson actually played against Captain Tasmania against the All Blacks. He captained Tasmania against the French, the Five Nations champs, in 1972 in Hobart. And that was my first international rugby commentary. We actually called the game, and Tasmania scored the first try. And my expert, George Debnam, who was the president of the Tasmanian Rugby Union, it was a length of the field intercept try in the second minute. He got so excited, he spat out his false teeth. Cascaded down from the top of the scaffold down into the long grass. Two stray dogs down there, and they went crazy. So I didn't have an expert commentator for about 10 minutes. I went back down the ladder, looking for his teeth. But amazing. And we used to nurse Queen Mary at the Hadley's Hotel after our club games. She was at that game actually when they played France. She slept through the whole game because she was only 4 months old. But wonderful story. He was a wonderful guy. He became a referee, and he was a professor of mathematics at the University of Tasmania.
And it's quite amazing when you speak about Tasmanian rugby. I know that my club, Eden, we sent a composite cult side to Tasmania and Victoria. We actually played the Tasmanian cult side, and we also played, ironically, Powerhouse Rugby Club as well, too, in Melbourne.
Wow, that's a nice touch, isn't it? Yeah, well, There's a statewide competition in Tasmania, and Tasmania always competed in the Southern States Carnival. You get a lot of people from the mainland who come down. You even had quite a few Kiwis who played for Tasmania. So yeah, there's a real ritual there. By the way, with that Burma Railway and Weary Dunlop, New Zealand had
maybe up to 800 POWs working on the Burma Railway, and half of them died. I think 12,000 Allied POW soldiers, mainly from Australia and New Zealand, were on the Burma Railway. So it was very much a trans-Tasman exercise, but a horrible exercise because so many of them died through, disease, exhaustion, and it was an awful situation.
Absolutely. And it really brings out the reality of war. Well, I know you're on your cruise today. I will be heading out to watch my club rugby, because club rugby plays on Anzac Day, and it's a special day. And I'll be out watching my club eat, and they're going out to suburbs. We play for a trophy out there for a guy called Ross Grayson's and a guy called Bruce Stevens. One played for suburbs, one played for Eden, and they were lifelong friends. And when I'm down there, I will be having a word, because I know they always have a Bettislow Cup pre-lunch, and I am going to advocate for the great man Gordon Bray to be one of their speakers.
Well, I'm always available, and the good thing is I don't charge any money. I'm happy to contribute to a charity. But the other thing I would mention today on Anzac Day is you've got the Brumbies taking on the Hurricanes.
Yep.
And the Hurricanes are the favourites for mine for the Super Rugby title. So I think it might be a bridge too far for the Brumbies today. They're really going to have to play for 80 minutes against this Hurricane side. But I think the real test for Australian rugby will be tomorrow, when Les Kisser's Queensland Reds take on the Auckland Blues, and Vern Cotter, who's going to move up to Queensland. I think that's going to be a very telling match, and that will be a good guide, I think, as to where Australian rugby stands at the moment, remembering that Les Kisser's going to take over as Wallaby coach later in the year.
And, of course, not forgetting the Women's International between the Black Ferns and the Wallaroos.
Yeah, well, that's being played tonight on the Sunshine Coast. And, again, great credit here to Rugby Australia, because they managed to make us part of this four-nation competition with Canada, USA, New Zealand and Australia. And that's going to happen over the next 4 years, leading to the World Cup in Australia in 2029. Look, Australia goes in as rank underdogs. I think the two nations have played 29 times. We're still looking for our first win, but the main thing is that the Australian women are heading towards a fully professional situation, and they're going to have their work cut out against the New Zealand team tonight. But it's great to see that match on the Sunshine Coast.
Absolutely. Well, Gordon, thank you so much for making yourself available on your holiday. I hope the rest of Anzac Day is a nice day for you, and I suppose at least we forget.
Lest we forget, yes, no, it's the ultimate sacrifice for all the players and the fans who are watching rugby today. It's a time for reflection of really, you know, the big picture and why we're all here today and enjoying prosperity, thanks to people who were prepared to put their lives on the line.
Thank you so much. You know what, Gordon, we're going to lead out with a very, very special song, and that is the band plays Waltzing Matilda.
Happy Anzac Day.
Cheers. Thanks, Gordon. And that was Gordon Bray. We might as well get to the song right now. It is the band plays Waltzing Matilda. And so we'll just get to this in a minute. Sorry. So we'll just get to this in a second once we can get these damn music going. So here we go.
A jolly swagman camped by a billabong under the shade of a coolabah tree. He sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. He sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Mm-hmm. my chum, but to drink at the billabong. Up jumped the swagman and grabbed him with glee. He sang as he shoved that chumbuck in his tucker bag. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. He sang as he shoved that chumbuck in his tucker bag. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Up rolled the squatter, mounted on his thoroughbred. Up rolled the troopers, one, two, three. With the jolly jumbuck that you got in your tucker bag, you'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing. Up rolled the squatter, mounted on his thoroughbred. Up rolled the troopers.
Was answered 6:03. He sits down next to me. We were flying out across the Great Divide, bound for WA. He shook my hand and said g'day. There I was, Slim Dusty by my side. I was flying with the king, a small town boy from nowhere. My head up in the clouds. All the times I heard him play, and here I was today. I was flying, I was flying with the king. Was Trumby riding slow, 30,000 feet below. Way down there, round a fire of Gitche coal. The desert stretching on, home to countless dusty songs. He was a man who walked a country mile. I was flying with the king, town boy from nowhere. I hid up in the clouds. All the times I heard him play, and here I was today. I was flying.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. We might as well get into it. Just before we get to the panel, a special shout out to the Horse and Trap, your local in Mount Eden. So just a little bit about them. They were the first Monteith Bar in the North Island. They've won a number of prizes, including Best Spirits and Best Service Winner, Best Pub Quiz in Auckland. They're open from 11:30 daily, and they have drinks and food specials. And one thing about it is, it's so close. If you're going to Eden Park, if you to a concert or a game, it's so close to Mungawhai Station. It's a great place to do, and they're great people there. So feel free to give them a call. Their number is 09630 3055, or you can email them info@thehorseandtrap.co.nz. Well, we start off the panel on line one. Miles Davis, how are you, mate?
Not too bad, mate. Beautiful sunny day down here in Wellington. The only problem I've got is Olive barking away like a crazy girl. I'll have to go and give her a beating later.
Oh, no.
That's a joke.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Here's me beatings.
Yeah. And on line two, from down on the South Island, I think he's in Christchurch, for what has been a brilliant super round, Andy Thompson. How are you, mate?
G'day, mate. Absolutely. Yes, I am in Christchurch, actually, in St. Albans right now. Was at the opening or the opening game of the new stadium last night, and what a magnificent experience that was. And it's a beautiful, beautiful day in Christchurch here today. And it's not going to really, the weather's not going to be an issue when in the stadium with a roof. Yeah, so looking forward to two great games this afternoon, though. It's going to be fantastic. Missing you, Miles. We thought you'd be here, mate.
I'd love to have come down there, mate, but, you know, I haven't had any work for 2 years. I can just about afford to go from Tarwa into Wellington on the bus.
And that's even with a gold card, Andy.
Oh, yes. Well, I know he is an aged gentleman nowadays. So, yep.
I wouldn't call him a gentleman. Anyway, we might as well kick it off with you, Thompson. Super Round, fantastic last night. You know, for 15 years after the tragic disaster of the earthquake, 15 years, Christchurch is definitely back. Heaps of people in the city. It's just, I think having the Super Round, especially on Anzac weekend, is good because I think New Zealanders, you know, it's a great long weekend and they can get down and they can enjoy it.
Yeah. Look, I just don't think you can understate the importance of yesterday and what it's meant to the people of Christchurch, the people of Canterbury, to have that stadium opening. It was a pretty special day yesterday. There was a palpable kind of sense from everyone that you were talking to of the anticipation that built up for such a long period of time. Everyone had just been hanging out for the stadium to finally open, to get the Crusaders playing at home against the Waratahs. 25,267, I think they said, was in the stadium last night. Absolutely packed out. And it is an absolutely magnificent venue. I got there a little bit late because we had been at a bit of a function beforehand, and we walked to the ground, got in there just around about, just before 7, I think we got in. So I didn't really get a chance to walk around, just went to my seat and kind of got a couple of drinks and sat there and just enjoyed it. But the venue itself, so the ground, everything is just unbelievable. But today, I want to have a little bit of an explore of the actual venue and have a look around, because people are just saying it's got so many facilities built through it, and it's just an incredible, incredible place. And the view, admittedly, I got some pretty good seats because I did actually buy Crusaders membership Diamond VIP seats, so they're really, really good seats. But there isn't a bad seat in that stadium. And the other thing, Miles, Amon, is that the seat size is significant. Like, people even in the cheap seats were saying one of the best seats they've ever sat in any sports venue. So, you know, little things like that make a fantastic experience, and I think they've done a great, great job. It was a brilliant, brilliant night.
So it is what we've finally got, a world-class stadium in New Zealand.
It is. New Zealand's new national stadium.
That's right. Well, people might be saying that, you know, that Dunedin had one first, but I've got to say that as much as a bit of rivals are the Village of the Damned, I was really pleased to not only see that they finally got the stadium, but also to see the Crusaders give them a go. It would have been a little bit flat having new stadiums and the Crusaders getting turned over, and the Waratahs have done that a few times in recent years. So, for once in my life, I was pleased to see the Crusaders win. And I've got a few mates were down there, and like everyone I've known who's been down there and come back up are saying how revitalised and what a buzz there is about Christchurch. I mean, I was down there in 2011. I went down with the late great Willie Losa and Nick Farr Jones. We did a charity thing at the casino there to raise funds. I was down there on the anniversary the next year at Crusaders training, doing a filming for Sky. And it was, you know, you could feel it was going to take time for things to recover, not just physically in terms of the buildings and everything rebuilding, but also in the psyche of the inhabitants, because it was, you know, a massive blow. Apart from just, you know, the tragic loss of life, there was just the loss of so many other things as well. So great to see them bounce back, and really a buzzing place. And, you know, when they were losing people, now they're actually gaining it. So, yeah, good on them.
I was just going to say, we walked out of the stadium, out of Gate A, walked across the road, started to walk down the street towards town. I turned left, and there was this whole new bar sort of eatery precinct that I didn't even know existed. Like, I don't know when it opened or when it started, but like the infrastructure is a bit like the old game of SimCity. You know, you build a stadium and everything sort of comes up around it is the sort of the vibe and the sense of it. And a mate of mine who drove over from the West Coast to go to the game, I said to him, he said, I was in my car 10 minutes after the game. I said, where did you park? He said, we parked less than 500 metres away. He said, I couldn't believe it. And this was a packed out stadium, and they arrived late and drove straight in and found a good park. So, you know, that was, they've got a lot of things right here.
And I think the biggest thing is, Andy, like and Miles, I've been down, and every Christmas I go down there. Unfortunately, I don't get a chance to catch up with you because you're on the West Coast, Andy. But I go there, and I've seen it when it was down to what it is now. Like, I asked someone, "How's the recession affected you in Christchurch?" And the first thing I got told by a chippy, "What recession? What are you talking about?"
Absolutely. You said that I'm in Christchurch, and I am. Wife and I, we bought a townhouse in St Albans last year. This is our Christchurch house. We're over here at least half the time now. We're still back on the coast as much as we can be, but because of our work, we're over here a lot. And these townhouses, two-bedroom, three-bedroom townhouses, are popping up right through the inner city, and there's so many of them that, you wonder about an oversupply, but they seem to be filling up. I mean, the town itself is such a buzz about Canterbury and Christchurch that it's attracting young people from all over the country coming here to get on with their lives because they can get ahead here.
Absolutely. Anyway, we move to Wellington. Of course, the Warriors are going to be playing at Henry Stadium against the Dolphins. It is sold out, Miles, sold out. You're barely lucky to get 15,000 to a Hurricanes game at Henry Stadium. In fact, somebody made the comment, and Miles, just before you bite my head off, that Wellington rugby fans have turned into are more like Auckland rugby fans.
Miles? Well, I think like rugby fans generally, to be honest, but just a quick nip in there. St Albans, I would have been sure that Thompson would have been in Fendleton, but anyway, we'll move on.
He claims to be a man of the people, but you know, yeah, but he's in the snobby part of St Albans.
He's telling us it's St Albans.
I think,
Piggy, that it's rugby generally that have lost fans. It's not just the Hurricanes. It's not just in the NPD. It's almost like the New Zealand Rugby Union have focused so much on the All Blacks, and everything is gearing up towards the All Blacks. Not that it seems to have had, a dominant effect as far as world rugby goes. I mean, they're still right up there, and they always will be. But I think that they've taken their eye off the ball a little bit in terms of the structure and the pyramids sort of going down, and it seems to be suffering all over the country. And I think this Warriors game, and if you look at the Warriors home games, they're getting huge crowds as well. Auckland FC are getting bigger crowds than the Blues or the Hurricanes are getting, or the Chiefs. It's, you know, the other sports seem to be doing something right that rugby's not. I don't know, maybe people are rugbyed out, maybe it's the novelty of other things. I mean, the fact that the Warriors are in town would add a little bit to it, but certainly not sell the place out. There's a culture around the Warriors, this up the wires. Everyone's got on board with it. They relate to their fans. You know, they're not aloof. They're not, not that I'm saying that the rugby players are snobby and that they're all reasonably down to earth guys, but the actual administration tends to keep them away a lot of the time. And I just, rugby league is a good game to watch as well. And I think more and more people are gravitating towards that. And once they get over the fact that, we don't want to be, disloyal or unfaithful to our, God of rugby, I think you'll get even more people doing that. And I know my two stepsons are going down there tonight, and they're really pumping for it. And they don't go to too many sporting events either, but they couldn't wait to go to this one. So the Warriors are doing something right. And to be honest, it's one of the things I miss the most about Auckland. You know, I used to go there regularly and get abused by the Mad Butcher. But it's not just a sporting asset in Auckland, it's a social asset as well. It's actually an event. There's a buzz about the place. Even if they've only got 8,000 or 10,000 in there, they're real hardcore supporters. They give the referee the opposition stick, and it just creates this great atmosphere. And I think it's going to really go off tonight.
And what you're also seeing, Miles, is that a lot of the corporates in Wellington, they've said, we're going to get to the Warriors, and we've seen it up here. A lot of the corporates aren't going to rugby union. They may go to the All Blacks test, but they're not going to the Super Games as much in the North Island. And I'm not saying anything before I go on to Andy about the South Island, but it seems to me that the corporate dollar, which is in the North Island, isn't really heading on to, say, the Super Rugby franchises. The Super Rugby franchises, it seems that the likes of the Warriors and even the Auckland FCs are taking that little bit of corporate money.
I just go back to what Miles was saying a little bit about the Warriors, and I've been to Warriors games in Christchurch here twice. An absolutely fantastic experience. I don't think I've ever seen the Warriors play in Auckland, maybe, can't remember. Don't think so. A great game day experience. My only comment would be, in this comparison between the way rugby and rugby league is, with the Warriors, you're talking about a one team, one country. You're not talking about like with Super Rugby with rugby with like five teams split across. So the fan support is split. You've got one game in Auckland one game in Christchurch or one game in Wellington. So of course, all of the league fans in that town are going to want to go to that one game. If it was week in, week out, with, say, four teams spread around the country, with that fan base dissipated amongst all of the New Zealand Rugby League fans, I'm not sure if you'd quite see the same atmosphere and the same attention to it. I think it's an unfair comparison in a lot of ways that people are making about the Warriors and potentially a Super Rugby competition. I think it's not a rugby versus league thing. I think it's the structure of what's happening.
I think
can I just say what a load of bollocks I think that is? Do you know what the real problem is, Thompson? Is the fact that there's lack of supporting culture in this country. They're not real fans, the majority of them. They're not fans.
Would there be the same support?
Just listen. How many football clubs are in London? You know, West Ham are crap, and we get over 60,000 a week. You're a lot of crap. You get 60,000 a week turning up to those games. You know, and that's been for over 100 years. It's just, there's a passion, and you watch England go overseas with any sport.
Are you saying that New Zealand rugby fans are not passionate? Is that what you're saying? New Zealand rugby fans are not passionate?
Yes, I am saying that. Yes, I am. Sitting on your hands and going black, black, black three times a game. It's not passionate support.
Oh, well, nothing like a Miles Davis grenade, is it, on this day? Anyway, but getting back to what you were saying, Andy, you know, the simple reason is I think we've just got a different generation. I think there's a lot of generations that do not go to rugby union. And while you're in Canterbury, where they're always going to be sold out because of that new stadium, and I'm going to say this, especially in the North Island, we're struggling to get people there.
Well, that's because your rugby's normally pretty crap, apart from the Hurricanes at the moment. You have a decent
but there's not an entertainment factor, Andy. Yeah. The Warriors provide an entertainment factor. Auckland FC provide an entertainment factor.
It's possibly the Super Rugby competition. I think there's still passion around the NPC, and I think Miles is going to agree with me on that. Maybe the crowds, because there are games every week and there's lots of different things going on, but there is definitely passion around provincial rugby, and I'm you know, I had a very good conversation with someone this week potentially about how does Super Rugby get that passion back, and potentially it is more of a provincial type of competition. I don't know the answer, but I think there is definitely the passion around provincial rugby and club rugby as well.
Oh, club rugby's important.
Yeah, can I just say, I agree with you there, Andy, that maybe the numbers don't turn up as much, I'm definitely far more passionate about Wellington than I am about the Hurricanes. And we've been together down there a few times to watch West Coast play. You know, that Heartland Championship, I love watching the games. It's real people playing the game, real people, you know, supporting it, real grassroots stuff. And the structure that I think that they try to sort of, you know, catch this catchment area and make it bigger so we can get more fans to it. Why didn't they dig into that parochialism and say the top four or five in the first division of the old days go into this Super Rugby the next season, just like they do in the UK. And they have their championship, the top teams qualify for the European competition. They put set weekends aside, so there's no clash with other things. All the other sides who aren't playing in it have the weekend off. And the crowds sing up. I mean, at Twickenham, there's 80,000, I think, for a French side against an Irish side in the final. That sort of structure, I think, would have been much better. And you could have put the financial support around them to obviously, you know, for the likes of Hawke's Bay or something to suddenly be playing Super Rugby. They need a bit of support. Maybe you could have some player draft system to bring players from other clubs to strengthen your side. But I think that would have been a much better way to go.
Absolutely. Anyway, we're going to talk a bit of football, but before, obviously, during...
No, we're not talking football.
Well, too bad. Too bad. Me and Miles can talk about football, but first of all, Donald Trump, he doesn't want Iran there in the World Cup. He wants Italy there. As a New Zealand football fan, I think FIFA should really show a strong arm against Donald Trump, which I think they'll show a rubber arm, and because I would prefer to be playing Iran than Italy. Start it off with you, Miles.
Yeah, I mean, Trump is the most vile individual on the planet, apart from maybe Putin and Netanyahu, the most unfit individual to hold any office, let alone the leader of the free world. But the problem is that Infantino, the president of FIFA, he's so much crawling, you know, the FIFA, you know, Peace Prize and all this bollocks, that he's liable to take notice of it. Personally, and I know it sort of impacts on New Zealand, but personally, I'd rather they let the Iranian footballers go there. I think that would be a good gesture. The Iranian footballers have got nothing to do with what's going on at the moment, and I think that the Iranian people deserve to have something like that to lift their spirits. And it's a lot easier for the All Whites to play them. So, you know, fingers crossed, they go ahead. And if not, if Iran are kicked out, they should go to someone in that group, in their group, that sort of maybe finish second or was close to going, and take them.
Absolutely. Well, we go to the EPL, I know, Thompson, you don't want to hear it, but it's squeaky bum time because Forest had a good win over Sunderland. So it's between both of you to see who's going to be in the next video of Welcome to Wrexham. We're going to start it off with you, Thompson, if you want to say something. You don't want to say anything?
No. I mean, they haven't won since December, so they deserve to be relegated. End of story. That's it.
Yeah. Well, would you be sad to see them go, Miles?
Oh, you've got to be joking. Honestly, if I could have it, I wouldn't mind if both of us went down. I can handle being down, but seeing them go down would be a massive prison. There are two sides that are, but to be fair, both those sides were struggling last season. I mean, West Ham were rubbish last year, and we still finished above Tottenham and Man United. Man United have turned it around under Michael Carrick. But Tottenham and West Ham have just drifted, and I don't know what's happened at Tottenham. I think losing Kane and then Son going as well, they were a real powerhouse for them and really influential in the way Tottenham played and a lot of their results. But they just, I don't know, they look lost. They look really, really lost at the moment. But I think they've got an easier run in.
Unfortunately, Mr. Thompson's had to go because he's actually got visitors at the door, not because we were talking about Spurs. So let's have a go. Miles, I hope you have a good rest of the Anzac weekend. Always great fun having a chat to you, mate. And obviously, good luck to West Ham. I hope you stay up.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. Thompson hasn't got anyone at the door unless it's the bailiffs or the police.
Oh, you don't get that in the Flash Patterson Orbits. Thanks, Miles. Have a good day. Cheers. That is us done.